If psychedelic therapy takes off, a lot of people could wind up having a profound hallucinogenic experience in a hospital or doctor's office. What exactly would that be like? Well, Catherine McLean used to work as a guide for Johns Hopkins Psychedelic Research Studies, so she was the one who sat with patients and helped them move through a trip. Now she runs the Psychedelic Education and Continuing Care Program, and she recently sat down with Charles Monroe Cain to talk about what she's learned in the clinical setting and also out on the street.
You know, it's an interesting term, this idea of a psychedelic guide, and lots of people have issues with it because they think that you are kind of guiding them into a particular experience. And so I've started to give people another way of thinking about what a guide is. You know, when I traveled to really high Himalayan peaks in Nepal, I hired a guide. You know, I didn't hire someone to walk with me like a walker or a sitter. I wanted someone who really knew the territory. And of course, they can't get you over the mountain, but they can surely get you through some really difficult terrain. And I think about psychedelic guiding in the same way, that it's more than just walking next to them as they go through their most difficult and intimate life experiences. You know the territory, and although you can never know what their experience will be, you can bring all of your past experience to bear as they are going through something that is new and mysterious and hopefully really illuminating for them.
I really want to go through the process with you. Is it like a therapy session? I sit at a couch, I'm given psilocybin, I lie there, and then you hold my hand and you're aware because you've experienced this before as a therapist and you just talk to me about my life?
You know, I worked with psilocybin, which is the ingredient in magic mushrooms. The approach that we used is not psilocybin-assisted psychotherapy. The guiding is a lot more hands-off for the most part, especially when you're dealing with high doses. What you're doing, and this term kind of means a lot and also nothing, it's called holding space. Mm-hmm. Meditation teachers do it during long silent retreats when you can't speak to people who are going through really intense experiences. And psychedelic guides do it a lot when, you know, 80% of the session is someone lying on a couch with eye shades and headphones, not talking, not moving. And your job is to basically be in this calm, vigilant, compassionate state over and over and over again every moment for the next 8 hours, being ready to step in and either speak with them or, you know, put your hand on their shoulder or hold their hand if needed, but really making sure not to get in the way and not be intrusive in an experience that really kind of takes care of itself for the most part.
Okay, so there I am. I'm in the room with you. It's a cool space. It's probably, you know, dim lights. I got the headphones on. I got eye shades. And something comes up, and I start tripping really hard, and it gets really, really hardcore, and I freak out. What do you do? Do you put your hand on their shoulder and say it's going to be okay? And this person's seeing some crazy stuff at that moment.
What I basically would do is ensure that they were physically safe. And I would often say, you know, your body is safe. I'm here with you. One of the mantras that I was taught was called in and through. And so you're not trying to distract someone from the pain or the fear or the really intense, you know, sometimes they're really frank hallucinations where it's hard to tell what's real. Right. You're not trying to distract them. You're not trying to guide them out of it. You're actually really encouraging them to be as fully in the experience as possible. You know, in the back of their mind, they've spent a month getting to know you in different preparatory sessions. And so I always kind of planted a little seed with each person I worked with. And I said, there may be times in that room on the session day when I don't seem like the person that you have come to know. You might get paranoid. You might feel like you're dying or going crazy or the world is, you know, dissolving around you. And there's going to be a part of you that remembers that we had this conversation and that you will know when you hear my voice that you're safe.
That sounds intense for you, though. You must go home and just be like, go home to your husband and be like, oh, my God, I need a cup of tea and put my feet up. You know, that's a trip for you, too, man.
I mean, you're sober, you know, as a guide, you show up and you're sober, but it feels like you're kind of on a mini version of the journey with them. And, you know, I kind of, in my mind's eye, I see this image of like the wave, you know, the peak of the drug effect, and it goes up and then it comes down. And you're like kind of taking this little wave next to the big wave.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. I hear you talking and I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm sure many of our listeners have taken magic mushrooms, taken LSD. Many of my friends have. I've been to many instances where many people are on it, rock concerts, out in the woods messing around with your friends on mushrooms. People do this drug a lot recreationally. And I hear you talk and I'm like, God, did we do it all wrong? Did everybody do it wrong?
No, to answer from a very, I think, scientific framework, we actually did a survey where people could tell us all about their most spiritual or meaningful psilocybin mushroom experience. Mm-hmm. And in terms of spiritual transcendent, you know, unity experiences that we see at a rate of about 70% in the laboratory with all of the, you know, the guiding, the preparation, the integration afterward, all of the best possible methods. In the survey with recreational use, it was only 30%.
Wow.
But it was still 30%, which means that people are actually pretty good at finding their way into these amazing experiences, even when, you know, 100 million things can go wrong.
Because sometimes in the parking lot at the Grateful Dead concert, things go wrong, you know?
Right.
No, seriously, things go wrong and people freak out. Do you think people should be doing this recreationally? Or you're like, no, you got to have a guide. You got to follow these protocols. What do you think?
Oh, I have a lot of opinions, and they are just opinions, so they could be right or wrong. But on the one hand, I always say this about the work I did at Hopkins. In most respects, the room, the fact that there were no windows, the fact that we couldn't bring people outside, the fact that they didn't have their friends and loved ones with them, so much about it was kind of paranoia-inducing. You know, you had to give your ID and you give up your shoes, and I think I would freak out in that environment. And yet it worked. The other side of that coin, though, is that I really worry about, you know, making the psychedelic experience medical and sanitized and like the same cookie cutter thing for everybody.
Right.
I guess what I mean about sanitizing the experience is I don't think we should take all of the appearance of risk away. You know, these are inherently risky experiences. Maybe they're medically safe, but people are getting into some pretty wild and intense psychological territory. And I think if you make it too safe, or you tell people, you promise them that it's going to be safe and risk-free just because you have all the trappings of a really well-trained guide in a medical environment, you're taking something away from the person's quest, you know, their journey to go through this on their own.
There's an underground movement who are doing this not in the clinical setting, where they're out doing therapy. You know, they're nurse practitioners, they're doctors, and they're doing psychedelic therapy illegally underground to treat people. What do you think about the underground movement? I mean, because that's potential to destroy a lot of hard work that people are doing, but also is helping people.
Yeah, I think it's filling a need right now that is real. It's saving people's lives. You know, there's a lot of suffering. There are people who are suicidal for any number of reasons, whether it's unremitting, you know, depression or trauma or chronic pain. I mean, people who have cluster headaches who describe them as so bad that they have every reason to live, but they're like, I can't live through another headache like this. And then they take a small amount of psilocybin mushrooms and the headaches go away. And so it's like, who are we to decide for that person that that's not an appropriate decision? I mean, it's their life.
Yeah, I'm curious. You've watched so many people on drugs in these very intense settings. What have you learned about us being humans? I mean, have you learned something about our souls, about our brains? What have you learned about us? Are you happy for us? Are you hopeful for us? How are we doing?
I'm way more hopeful when I am around people on psychedelics than when I'm around sober people. Let's put it that way. This is going to sound potentially very cheesy and new agey or whatever, but I'll just say it. Every single time that I've sat through a session, and this includes, you know, at festivals when I do harm reduction work, and in that case, it's a lot of LSD, you know, totally uncontrolled environment. People show up and we just basically, in the course of a minute or so, have to convince them to trust us and stay there and ride it out. Ultimately, it's like every single person who shows up or every single session I'm in, I come away feeling like we are totally all connected. Hmm. Like every single thing that has ever happened in that person's life to lead them to this point where all of the things that have happened in my life to lead me to this point, and now here we are having this incredibly intimate, fractal, holographic experience around this drug. And I'm like, wait, I think we all are actually connected. You know, this is what the Buddhists have been trying to say. And then, of course, you know, time goes by and I forget that feeling. And so it's nice to be reminded. I feel like psychedelics probably more than anything else remind us of that.
Catherine McLean runs the Psychedelic Education and Continuing Care Program, and she was talking with Charles Monroe Kane.